Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. All right, welcome back, everybody. My name is Colin Stewart. I'm your co-host today. I'm joined by our first recurring guest, actually, back by popular demand. You might remember him from previous episodes of Personalized Plug and Play, where he shared a little bit about how to quickly and easily personalize your emails based on somebody's LinkedIn profile and a bunch of different filters. So if you haven't seen that one, definitely check it out. But David Morzinski, SDR at Demandbase, is back to share how he stays productive with us today. Welcome back to the show, David.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Make my parents proud.
Yeah, of course. All right, man. So you're going to share some, this is a little bit of a diversion from how we normally, the sort of topics that we normally cover, but I think it was a really interesting one to me because it's something that, you know, while it's not specifically sales related, it's very applicable to everybody in a sales role, right? And today we're really going to be talking about the few things that you do to stay super productive and make sure you're not sort of missing things. So I know you've got some slides prepared. So why don't we start there?
Yeah, let me share my screen.
Cool. And for those that are listening to the podcast and you can't see the video, that's okay. This is all in Google Sheets. I'm going to just check out the show notes and we'll have the link to this presentation in there for you.
Awesome. And again, Colin, thanks for having me. And you know, what we're going to go through today, it's applicable in a lot of different industries, but I think in sales, particularly, time is money. And really what we're going to go through is just how you're going to be able to do certain things to create more time in your day to do more. And what Bill Gates, his philosophy was, he was going to get the laziest person at Microsoft to do the hardest task, because his thinking was that particular person is going to find the easiest way to get that job done. So my thinking is, what, because I work extremely hard, what if I can take my hard work, pair it with these time management hacks, what's going to end up happening, right? So what we're going to go through today are like the seven things that I personally do that really allows me to hit my number every single month.
Love it. Let's jump in.
Yeah, for sure. Have you heard of the Eisenhower matrix before?
I've seen similar matrices like this, but I didn't realize it had come from Eisenhower.
Neither did I. But what for those of you who don't know, what the Eisenhower matrix is, it's going to allow you to segment your tasks based on importance and urgency. And this is really going to help you with prioritization, knowing that you're working on the most important task at hand. And just to give you some history behind this, President Eisenhower invaded Europe during World War II using this exact tool. Gotcha.
This is just a simple four quadrant matrix, right? And it's, let's see, importance on the left-hand side and urgency on the right, right? And you've got, you know, the do first is the highly important, high urgency, and the don't do is low urgency, low importance. So.
Exactly. And if you think about it, no matter any task, any idea you have, you're going to be able to bucket it in one of these groups, right? But the next question is, how do you execute this matrix, right? So what I do is I like to use an app called Trello. Right? Trello is just a master to-do list. And this is how I make it work for me. So like I was saying before, you're going to have people coming up to you every single day telling you, I need this, I need that. You're going to have the best ideas for work while you're at home and vice versa. As you have tasks coming in every day, as you have ideas coming in every single day, what I'm going to do is basically put them in my inbox general folder. And as this folder gets bigger throughout the day, what I'll do at the end is I'll go in and I'll segment these tasks accordingly based on importance and urgency. And what I'll do is every single day before I do anything, I'm going to come into this tool and pick the 3 to 5 most important things I want to get done that day. And the reason why I picked Trello, one, it's free, is A, I like the UI, I think it's extremely easy to use, and B, it's cloud accessible. What I was saying is you're going to have some of the best ideas come to you when you're out with your friends. You don't want to forget those ideas, so you can just quickly take out your phone, write it down in your inbox general folder, put it away, and then go back into Trello later and segment it again on importance and urgency.
I really like that piece. I read this book called Getting Things Done by David Allen.
Love that one.
That really inspired me. He does something very similar to this. Is this not the Getting Things Done inbox system that he talks about? Obviously, he does it in folders. You have it in Trello columns.
But so it's funny, I read that book and that got me on my productivity train. And I've basically taken that philosophy and I just paired that with the Eisenhower matrix. And this is what it looks like.
Very cool.
Yeah. So
anybody that hasn't seen or heard, isn't familiar with this, I highly recommend checking out Getting Things Done by David Allen. You can get the book, PDF, you know, whatever.
And then the one thing before we go on, you're going to see a waiting on folder, especially in sales, you're going to delegate certain tasks. And I like to operate under extreme ownership, right? You can't just give somebody something to do and then have it be done. You need to have a waiting on folder. So if somebody forgets, which, you know, we're all human, people are going to do that. This is going to be able to remind you on the tasks that you've delegated to make sure you can stay on top of those people so it gets done. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Love it.
So the next thing that I do, and I think this is one of the most important things that you're going to be able to do to move the needle forward in your day, something called Pareto's Law. It's the 80-20 rule. And for those that don't know, what the 80-20 rule means is 20% of the actions you do are leading to 80% of the results. And I personally believe that you're going to be able to apply this rule in multiple facets of the sales role. So let's start with the who. What I wanted to figure out is, was there any correlation with the meetings that I was setting? So I take a look over the past year and I try and find what are the similarities between these meetings. And what I found was most of the meetings that I was getting were people interacting with demandbase.com in the past day, in the past week. So I asked my Salesforce admin to create reports that would show me these specific individuals. So what I do every single morning is I run these specific reports and I'm focusing most of my time on these people because I know it's going to yield me the best results. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Cool. And then the when. When am I sending these emails out? When am I calling people? In my opinion, I get bar none the most responses when I send my emails out Thursday at 4:00. And what I'll do is I don't just email people at that specific time. Monday through Thursday and Friday, I'm going to be writing emails throughout the day, but I'm not going to send them until Thursday at 4.
Gotcha.
And then the next is the what. What are the actual activities I'm doing every day that are leading to this revenue? And fortunately, we're in sales, so it's pretty easy to identify if they're emails, phone calls, or in-mails. And at Demandbase, we call these RGAs, revenue generating activities. If you're not doing one of these things, you're just simply not doing your job. And what I do to hold myself accountable is I color coordinate the time I spend on revenue generating activities as green. So what I can do on a high level is actually take a look at my calendar and see the ratio between how much time I'm spending on RGAs versus not. And if you're not hitting your number, this is probably one of the first things that I would take a look at to make sure that you're actually doing enough of the right things.
Mm-hmm. I actually recently started doing this myself, where I've got split between sort of recurring meetings like admin stuff and revenue generating activities because I lead a rep team. And it's been tremendously powerful when you look at your calendar, because I do a weekly plan as well as a daily plan. And I can actually look at my week and say, okay, well, am I spending enough time focusing on each of my responsibilities to make sure I get things done?
Right. And it's you can correlate it to your pipeline so well, where it's like, I know, like, I'm starting to get agita because I know my pipeline is low, and I'll actually take a look at the previous week and the ratio compared to me working on revenue generating activities versus not, maybe because I went to go to a conference or because I had a bunch of meetings that didn't include RGAs. It really affects your pipeline. So just being able to hold yourself accountable to this, it really helps.
So. Awesome. So what's next once we've mastered Pareto?
So the next thing that I like to talk that I do is I set up something called systems. It's really a defined process of getting specific tasks completed in the most efficient and effective way possible. And really the reason why I do this is there's never any ambiguity. For most of the tasks that you need to complete, there's always a step-by-step directions in what you should be doing and when, but we also put the most important things to do first. So let me explain. With prospecting, again, I'm an SDR. This is a primary task that I need to do on a given day, right? But a lot of the times, you know, I'll be prospecting and I'll get distracted. I have to go to the bathroom and then I come back to my desk and I don't know where I left off. Having a step-by-step list really allows me to save that time, figuring out what do I need to do next. And I can just start from the step where I left off.
I love this because you don't have to rethink the process.
Right.
I feel like in the past, when I've prospected, I feel like a lot of it I thought was an art more than a science. And I think what I've realized is to be that productive person, it is a science. It's a process. It's following. It's being consistent. It's doing the exact same thing every time.
Right. And it's sort of like you're not solving a problem 100 times. You solve it once and then that's it.
Yeah. And then if you have the process, you find something that works well, you add another step. If you find something isn't working, you take out a step. This like continuously improving piece.
And to go off of that, Colin, there's going to be, look, you're not going to create the best system first. You always have to test it and implement, right? But doing it over and over and over again, what you're going to realize is there's certain steps that are yielding you more meetings versus others, right? So you, in my opinion, you want to put those most important steps first. So A, you're not going to go through the entire list if you can get easy meetings in the beginning. And B, it's, again, going to save you time. So with prospecting, let's take Sprint, for example. My account director comes over to me. I want to get a meeting with Sprint. Great. Instead of going into LinkedIn right away, which is step 6, right, and trying to find the person that I want to get in contact with, what I think makes the most sense is going into your CRM, figuring out, do we have any open opportunities with that account? Do we have any closed opportunities with that account? And if so, who was the person at Sprint that we spoke with? Because chances are, my next meeting at Sprint is going to come from that person as opposed to going to cold prospecting. And basically doing this list in order of importance, you're going to be able to find the gold sooner rather than later. And again, with the no ambiguity, you know exactly what to do at any given point in time.
That's awesome. So I imagine you have systems for other things.
Yeah. So, and to go even a little bit deeper with prospecting, right? Depending on the size, the industry of the company, you're going to want to use certain Boolean searches depending on the company. Right?
This is in LinkedIn,
correct, right? Yeah. So what I'll do is I've created Boolean searches and I've saved it in Google Docs. So now let's just say going back to Sprint, I know that my person wants to get an ads meeting there and I know what industry and everything they're in. I'll basically go to the Boolean search and figure out the best one to use and copy and paste it. And that's going to save me time because I don't have to type it out every single time. And it's going to be most efficient because I know the best searches to use for a specific company, size, industry, et cetera.
And again, we're not recreating the wheel every single time. You're just copying and pasting.
Exactly.
Very cool.
Now, another system that I've created, and I think this is the most important one, it's my morning routine, right?
So basically, David, the next step here is the systems. And I thought you're going to be a little bit less mature than obviously I am, but clearly you're a professional here. The first 5 things that you do when you get into the office in the morning, why don't you just list them out so that we can, so everybody that is listening can know what we're looking at here.
Yeah, for sure. So the first thing I'm going to do is go into my Trello, what we mentioned earlier, and pick the 5 most important things I want to get done that day. Next, I'm going to go into my hot reports, what we mentioned in Pareto's Law. I know when I run these reports, these are going to lead me to the most meetings. Mm-hmm. So then after picking the most important tasks and running the reports where are going to get me the most meetings, I'm going to go into my email sequencing tool and figure out how many outstanding emails I need to send to stay on top of my pipeline.
Love it.
After I do those three things, what I'll do is I'll go into my email and I'm really only going to respond to urgent emails. And I think that it's really important to note, right? I will never check my email first thing in the morning because it automatically puts me in reactive mode. Making sure that, I mean, personally, I always check Trello first thing because you're focusing on, I'm focusing on the things I need to get done that day. I know the things that I pick are going to be the most important things that are going to move the needle forward for me the most. And instead, I'll just save the email to the last part, figure out if there's any urgent emails I need to get to. 9 times out of 10, I don't have an urgent email and I need to get to, close the email, and then execute my day accordingly. And I just have so much more confidence in executing that day the best way I can if I start out with these three, four steps.
Yeah, I love it. I recently started, I used to keep my email inbox open, my Gmail open in a tab at all times. And I think every time I'd finish a task, I just go back to my Gmail and be like, I just want that little dopamine hit. And I'd click that little refresh button a couple of times. And, you know, it makes you feel like you're being productive, but it turns out I wasn't actually being productive in that time, but I just had the illusion of productivity.
Right.
When I switched to being more intentional and sort of mapping out my week, mapping out what I'm going to do in the day, I found that in order to sort of accomplish all these things, I have to have my inbox closed so that I'm not tempted. So that I know if I have something that I need to send or I need to check, you know, there is that. I have to do a little bit of work. Love what you're doing there. So
yeah. And it's funny, Colin, because like I'm an SDR, right? Most of my meetings are coming from inbound emails. So you just want to check your email to be like, so badly, to get that next meeting. But at the end of the day, if you have people emailing you saying, let's meet, you don't need to get back to them that second. All right. Wait an hour, wait 2 hours, wait to answer your emails at the end of the day. Or when, yeah, it's basically don't check your email all the time, even though it's very easy to when you're an SDR.
And it feels like you're being productive, but
right.
You know, if they've already agreed to the meeting, they're not going to change their minds if you wait an extra hour.
Right. Exactly.
Cool. So once you've powered through the morning, what's next here?
All right. So the next thing that I'd like to talk about, it's something called cadences. For those of you who don't know, it's basically a series of steps over a period of time, right? And these steps include emails, phone calls, and in-mails. But what I've done is I've created sequences based on pain points. So at Demand Base, we have 5 different solutions to solve 5 different pains, right? And the reason why I do this is twofold. One, it's going to save me a boatload of time, right? When I'm in LinkedIn and I'm prospecting, the only time consuming thing that I'm doing is finding the people and then determining which ones I want to reach out to. And then once I figure out how I want to segment them, basically, okay, so this is an ads person, I'm going to hit them with ads messaging. I put them in the sequence accordingly, my job's done, right? But it's also going to increases my effectiveness, right? Because each message in that sequence has value for that specific pain point for the person that I put in there, right? So that's going to increase the amount of replies I get because I know I'm speaking that person's language, right? And for example, let's say you've sent this person 3 emails, and instead of going back and figuring out the 3 emails you've sent them and then trying to determine what emails you have left in your arsenal, you already have the value template there. All you need to do is do a little bit of customization and then press send. That's it.
It's amazing. You're not recreating the wheel every time. You've got everything ready to go.
Right. And it's really just ensuring that you're speaking to that person's needs, right? At the end of the day, if you're emailing the right person but sending them something they don't care about, it doesn't matter how customized that email is, you don't really look that intelligent. And it's sort of like idiot-proofing your outreach.
Love it.
Yeah. And so to take these cadences, we mentioned customization in the email, right? That leads to the next thing that I like to do, and it's something called plug and play, right? What this is going to allow you to do is customize emails at scale. So you're going to have your templates with the value props built in, but you're going to want to leave certain variables in order to customize those emails. So for example, I like to use competitors that we work with when I'm sending out emails. But it's going to be pretty time consuming if every single time you send an email, you have to run your customer report and basically go on to Owler and try and find that particular company's competitors, match it back to my customer report list, and then do that accordingly. It's do it once, never do it again. So for Checkpoint Software, I know that we work with X competitor. So instead of doing that research again, all I have to do is go into an account list. I use Excel, put the variables that you want to use in that sheet, and just simply copy paste. So not only is that going to increase the time that it takes, decrease the amount of time it takes you to write that email, it's going to increase the effectiveness because you're adding a level of customization into that email.
And chances are you're probably prospecting to more than one person at each company, I'm guessing.
Exactly. I mean, I like to prospect 5 to 7 people depending on the company size, right? And at any given point in time, I'm probably working 10 to 15 companies. Just being able to have an account list, have the variables in there and fill it out as you work your account list. You don't need to do it all at the same time. It's just simple. Like, it just saves me time, right? I don't have to do the research over and over and over again.
Exactly. You're not doing the same work twice. You're doing it once and then benefiting from it the entire time.
Exactly.
Love it.
Cool. Now, the next thing that I do is I test everything, right? You can't test what you don't measure, right? And the reason why I do this is A, you want to figure out what messaging doesn't work because it's just going to waste your time sending emails and using subject lines that aren't going to yield you a response. But going back to the cadences, a cadence could be 8 steps long. It would make no sense for me to put my best subject lines and my best emails that get the highest reply rates at the end, right? The reason why I put it in the beginning is because it's going to take me less time to get a response, right? Which is going to allow me to work more people. But also on the flip side, let's say I've emailed a woman 3 times, right? And on average, these subject lines get opened 50% of the time. And based on the body of the email, that gets a 25% reply rate. If I've emailed the woman 3 times and she hasn't even opened up my email, there's a big chance that she's just never going to open it or it's going into spam. So understanding and realizing in the beginning that, okay, this is just somebody I'm not going to be able to get on this particular medium on email, figuring that out faster allows you to figure out another way to work that person and allowing you to bring in more people to work that will open up and reply to your emails.
Awesome. And it's a pretty big jump in the numbers here on in your open rates.
Yes, and that's what I was going to discuss. It's just testing. What I figured out is just adding company name in a subject line is going to increase your open rates by 10%.
Wicked.
Yeah. I got a question. What's your favorite subject line?
Oh, you know what? I used to have one. I like playing with the different variables. I like anything, really, anytime you can work a really good pun in there where you know, like, the right person is just going to see that and groan. Like, if you can make somebody groan, like, they're like, oh, that's a terrible pun. You know, they're going to open it. You know, they're going to.
That's funny. I like that.
So.
Cool.
I don't have one specific favorite one. It's like anytime I can work something that makes me smile and make me happy. And generally, I think if you're having a good time, if you're enjoying, I know it's hard to imagine enjoying writing a ton of emails, but you know, if I'm having fun, I think that's going to come through in the work that I do. And people will see that, they'll notice that. And the people, right, it's one tactic. You're going to pick up the people that appreciate terrible puns. And I've gotten responses from people that I didn't think were going to come back because you don't know what somebody's humor is going to be like.
Right.
Obviously it's got to be tasteful, but you know.
I literally love putting humor in my emails. Whenever I email with David, I always sign it off. P.S. Great first name.
It's an okay first name.
I'm David. I'm the one and only. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
So, and then the last couple things that I do every single day. The first thing, it's called Parkinson's Law, where the theory behind this is if you're given a certain task and a certain amount of time to complete that task, you're going to take the entire time to do it, right? So if I have 10 emails I need to write and I have the entire day to do it, a lot of the times people will take the entire time to get that specific task done. Mm-hmm. What I like to do is hold myself accountable. So if I have 10 emails that I need to write and it's 9:30 in the morning, what I'll say to myself is, let's see if I can get this done by 10:30. What if I can write 10 emails in an hour, right? And just being able to hold yourself accountable, giving yourself a time to finish that certain task at hand, which is going to allot you more time to do more emails, plan the best subject lines, etc. Make sense?
Yep. I know there's a famous quote there and I'm absolutely getting it wrong, but it was like, it's around the idea that the task will expand into the time that you allow for it.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's exactly what you're referring to there.
Right. And just like what I personally do is I'll book a conference room. I won't bring in my phone. I turn off all notifications on my computer and I literally just hone in on writing those emails and do nothing else. That's so awesome. Yeah. And then the next thing that I like to talk to you about, which I really utilize every single day, it's this ultradian rhythm, right? Where you're going to have peaks of productivity throughout the day and everybody's going to be different. I personally know I am the most productive right in the morning. And what I'll do to basically increase this productivity is I love going to the gym in the morning. It makes me feel better. It gets my mind sharp. And I will drink a boat ton of water because it really just gets me more energized, right? Knowing that I'm about to write 20, 30 emails in the morning, I want to make sure I'm sharp and I'm ready to go. So I'm going to go to the gym, stretch, drink lots of water to put me in that right state, right? And then going back to limit email overwatch, just stop checking your email throughout the day. It's easy. I would fall into that because I was waiting for my next meeting. I wanted to get that excitement, but we spoke about it earlier. If somebody agrees to meet with you, it doesn't matter if you email them an hour later. Don't go in that reactive mode. Focus on your tasks at hand, and then you'll be fine.
Cool.
And those are basically the time management hacks that I do that helps me hit my number.
Love it.
Cool.
I love how you've combined a bunch of different things to, like, these are all popular books that, you know, that other people have written that you're essentially just packaging it up really nicely to fit into the day of the SDR. You're definitely somebody, one of the more experienced SDRs we've had on the show here. So I really appreciate you sort of sharing. It's always super interesting to get insight into, you know, how do these really high achieving SDRs, how do they do it? How do they perform? What are the secrets? Because I think a lot of people think, oh, they're just naturally talented. They're skilled. They're better looking.
No, definitely not the case. Definitely not the case. I missed my quota the first 4 months I was here. So yeah.
Gotcha.
But it's funny. So Kevin Dorsey, you actually had him on the show, right?
Great episode.
He's awesome. Right. But I just saw he posted something on LinkedIn about people love reading these productivity books, but it makes them feel better. They just can't take action on them, right? And to me, I like reading the self-help books, but I totally see what he's saying. It feels good, but how are you going to put that into action? And I just feel like, you know, the best part about doing it is executing on the things you read about and seeing the results in real life, right? So to me, there's nothing more gratifying than that.
It's not self-help unless you actually help yourself. Otherwise, it's just like thinking about self-help.
Exactly.
You'll get that little dopamine hit, but.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right. Right on. Well, David, thank you for coming on the show again. This was fantastic. I feel like I learned a ton. So thank you.
Colin, you're a gentleman scholar and wonderful human being.
Thanks for coming on, David.
Have a good one.
All right. See ya.